Welcome. This is Christopher Holmes, and this is the Zero Point Radio Show through BBS Radio. It is Saturday, January the 19th, 2013. My name is, or my website actually is at Zero Point, zeropoint.ca, and I invite people to look there for my books on mystical teachings and other subjects. Today I wanted to just briefly open with a quotation, and this is the number one oracle on the Georgia Guidestones, and it is, maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. And it seems in our society we have people who really want to reduce population size, which includes ourselves and our families and friends and things like that. And they're using various kinds of means to affect this type of agenda. They're spraying us with chemtrails. They're adding GMOs and all other toxic nutrients to our foods. And we're being irradiated by smart meters. And we have all kinds of inoculations which are creating all kinds of havoc within the population. These are terrible, terrible things being done to humankind now upon this planet. We're trying to, like, look into these things and, like, who's behind this and what kind of goofballs would do such things. So anyway, so that's our kind of focus and today we're going to be looking at, well, I'm going to bring on the co-host, Dee here. Hi, Dee, how are you?
Oh, raring to go, Christopher. How about you?
Good. We seem to have a really interesting show here today, Dee, and you've set this up, and I'm going to let you introduce our guests and bring them on. And
I got to tell you, Christopher, this was like dumped into our laps, and you know, the smart meter issue that we're addressing with both our guests today. First off, we're going to have Jerry Flynn on, and Jerry's very, very well-known ex-military. Well, we'll go into all of that when we bring him on in a moment. And then we have Curtis Bennett, whose qualifications to speak to the deleterious effects of smart metering and electromagnetic radiation. I mean, the man is legend. He's absolutely legend.
Yeah.
And between the two of them, they cover so much ground. So at this point in time, all I can say to our listeners is, you know, take notes, listen in, because this affects everybody. This is not a localized issue. We are taking it from a localized aspect because we are now in the middle of a battle in BC over smart meters. Ontario has had them imposed. Ontario has not reacted too much at all.
No.
It's similar to the HST situation where BC beat it back, but Ontario sat on its hands. And what my goal is, and I think yours as well, is to make sure that everybody listening and everybody who has the ability to share this information with their neighbors, their friends, their family, does so, because literally, people, we are being cooked. We are being microwaved. You may as well put us in a microwave oven and turn on the knob, because essentially what's happening to us is exactly that. There's a lot of lies. There's a lot of illegalities. There's a lot of dirt. And, you know, to start in with this, I mean, we're now going to introduce Jerry Flynn. Jerry Flynn is ex-military. I'll let him explain to you what his qualifications are. But Jerry describes smart meters and electromagnetic radiation as a weapon of war, and he ain't kidding.
Wow.
So without further ado, let's bring on Mr. Jerry Flynn. Jerry, welcome, and thank you for being here.
Well, thank you, Dee, for having me. I'm just delighted. Well, very briefly, I'm 77 years of age. I'll be 78 in June, and I was a retired gentleman teaching myself how to make things out of wood in my garage. until about one day, a little over 2 years ago, I got a fateful phone call from my daughter, who is married with three children living on the island with her husband. And she asked me that question, "Dad, do you know anything about smart meters?" At that time, I said, "No, I did not." And she asked me if I would look into it. I said, "Yes," thinking it might take me perhaps half an hour, maybe even a half a day. Anyhow, I have not been back to my garage ever since. I've been just absolutely immersed in this stuff. Electromagnetic radiation and wireless smart meters are indeed the worst threat to our health, to our personal privacy, to democracy, and actually to Canada's own national security. My background, I spent 27 years, that is 26 years plus one day in the Canadian Armed Forces, Unified Forces. I came up through the ranks. I was in electronic warfare, signals intelligence, and radio warfare. And I'm thankful today for that, because it is only because of that reason that I have some idea what is going on. And the more I looked into this, the more frightened I became. My alarm bells went off when I first looked into it, and I realized that Fortis BC had chosen, which is also like BC Hydro, had chosen wireless technology. The minute you do that, you're talking military domain. You're talking military weapons. You're talking about electromagnetic weapons, weapons of like radio warfare, the stuff I used to do, only it's far, far, far more sophisticated today. When I looked into it further and I realized that each smart meter will also have a second transmitter, which none of the utilities ever tell you about, it is called the Zigbee transmitter. And that particular transmitter operates on exactly the same frequency as your microwave oven, 2.4 gigahertz. And all the utilities, none of which will tell you, they envisage you in every home eventually, and all new homes, that you will have typically 15 or more smart appliances. Now, they use the word smart deliberately, because each of these appliances, which, by the way, you can now buy in the major appliance stores today, they actually do have their own transmitter built in, a microwave, pulsing microwave transmitter, all of which operate on 2.4 gigahertz. So, Dee, your statement concerning cooking, and you weren't exaggerating at all, whether you knew it or not, but the utilities envision you having literally 17 pulsing microwave transmitters on every single home, 16 of which will be pulsing on exactly the same frequency as your microwave oven. Utilities don't want you to know that. From there, I just dug into like the history. It's criminal. One of the Canada's foremost experts in this whole field is a female professor at Trent University. Her name is Dr. Magda, M-A-G-D-A, Havas, H-A-V-A-S. She's a PhD at Trent University. If you just Google her name, she'll have a fabulous website there for you to look at. But she says, and I'm quoting you, 0.95 and 2.45 gigahertz are the most lethal microwave frequencies, period. And guess what frequencies we use in our doggone smart meters? 900 megahertz, which is like 0.9, and 2.45 exactly. And so does your baby monitor, 2.45 gigahertz. Your baby monitor that you go out with your precious little child you just brought home from the hospital, you want to protect her or him, you do what you think is best, and your heartstrings make you buy the best on the market. Well, the best on the market just happens to radiate 2,000 feet. Imagine that, 2,000 feet. So not only are you radiating the very lovely child you just brought home and yourself, even when you go to bed and you put it on the night table, you're radiating yourself and everybody within 2,000 feet.
Lovely.
One of the reasons why the military, or if you like, industry, chose microwave is because it goes through walls, which means they're impervious to walls. So anybody's thought of you opting out all by yourself, you're kidding yourself. Every single, like the local area network transmitter, the only one that the utilities ever talk about, is called the LAN, the local area network. It operates on 900 megahertz. That thing has a range of about 3 kilometers, which means that every single home in a typical neighborhood will radiate every other single home, and in turn be radiated by every other single home. That's in addition to your 15 or so smart appliances, each of which will radiate for a distance of about 246 feet in radius, meaning 550-some-odd feet in diameter. That's scary. And when you realize that Well, people should just Google conflict of interest at the WHO and just see what comes up. And you'll see a name by the name of Michael Repacoli. Now, he is a professor, an Australian fellow from Sydney, but he headed up a major 10-year study, $250-some-odd million, that was supposed to look into the health effects of EMR to protect you and me. What did he do? He immediately went out, and he brought on a whole team of scientists to help him, but they were all from industry. Not one single person was an independent person. And so they did that for about 10 years at $250 million. They subsequently found out that he was on the payroll of industry. Industry paid him something like $150,000 a year. And he also was the chairman. In fact, he still is. He's the chairman emeritus of what is called ICNIRP, the International Commission for the Non-Ionizing Radiation Protection, which if you look on their website, that's ICNIRP. It'll tell you that they're a not-for-profit organization. They do not accept any money from anybody, and yet here he is on their payroll. So he is a gentleman who, more than any other single person, was responsible for establishing the so-called exposure limits that our country and the WHO and the FCC, like the Federal Communication Commission in the U.S., have established to protect you and me, of course. And I listened to a video just a short while ago by another name you might want to write down, Dr. George Carlo, C-A-R-L-O, a professor. He undertook a study on behalf of the telecommunications industry in the U.S. for $28.5 million U.S., and he did this for about 6 years. He had 200 scientists working for him, the outcome of which were that the results were not to the industry's liking. In fact, the longer the study went on, the more direct became the linkage between the radiation and the illnesses in humans. They immediately tried to discredit him. In fact, subsequently, his house burned down mysteriously because he wouldn't simply toe the line. Anyhow, he said, put out a video, which I watched just the other day, and he said that I've lost my train of thought there just for a second, but he went on to say that the industry is such that they buy whatever they don't have. They invest, for example, the industry invests in the BC Cancer Agency. The federal government in Canada, Health Canada, they established a research facility at the University of Ottawa, and guess who put up most of that money for that research facility? And so here in BC, our own provincial medical health officer, they look to Health Canada for guidance and establishing our limits. Well, we're looking to the wrong people. Just Google conflict of interest with Health Canada, and you'll be surprised at who turns up there.
Oh, yeah, and there's
a lot. It's interesting. In Europe, you've got what they call the Council of Europe. The Council of Europe comprises 47 different countries, 800 million people, and they are encouraging all of their member countries to take wireless out of their schools, cell phones out of their schools. And yet here in Canada, what do we have? We have Bernard Lord. That's another name you might want to make note of. He's a Queen's Counsel lawyer. He's also the Order of New Brunswick. He twice was the Premier of New Brunswick, a majority governance. I understand he did quite a good job. But after he left office, he joined a major law firm in Quebec, which Jean Charest just joined, McCarthy Tétrault, who moved an office down to Ottawa for him so he could lobby the federal government. And he did that very effectively. He went to the convention in Edmonton in 1997, where they were trying to choose a successor for Joe Clark, and he gave a very impressive speech, fluently bilingual, of course, to the extent that they said that you'll be on the short list for successors to Stephen Harper when he leaves. Guess who the Canadian Wireless and Telecommunications Industry, the CWTA, they went out and they selected him to be their president and CEO. So he is the single most important person in Canada today who's pushing all of this wireless stuff across the country, whether it's a cell phone, Wi-Fi in schools, smart meters in any province. Just look at Bernard Lord. If I were an investor in a company that he was heading up, I would be ecstatic, because my return on investment, I'm sure, has to be beyond anyone's expectations. That's how successful he has been. And yet in other countries are taking him out. Russia is the country that knows far more about this technology than anybody does. Back in the year after I joined the Navy, I joined in 1952. In 1953, they started to radiate the U.S. Embassy in Moscow, which they did for 23 years, and I got out 2 years after they finished the radiation. They radiated the very same frequency that you and I are using in these appliances today, only for 6 hours a day, 6 to 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, but for 23 years. They went up and down the band. They experimented with various intensity levels, durations, pulse rates per second, and pulse rates per minute. So they know exactly what frequencies will cause what harm to people. And for example, 4.5 hertz will cause paranoia in humans. 6.6 hertz will cause depression or suicide in people. 11 hertz will cause manic behavior and anger in people. And 25 hertz will cause blindness if aimed at the head, or it'll cause a heart attack if aimed at the chest. You and I, all of you listening, we are all bioelectrical people. Our body has a resonant frequency of what they call 7.8 hertz. That's very, very low. Your household current is 60 hertz. So anything, especially if there's nothing more harmful to a living thing than pulsed electromagnetic waves.
Just to clarify, Gary,
have in our home today, they're all pulsed microwave electromagnetic frequencies. So they're all dangerous to us.
Just to clarify, Gary, it might help people to understand that the electrical information that you're imparting right now is critical to understand, because you're talking about the glue that holds the bricks of our body together. It's like the mortar of our body. You start messing with that, and we fall apart.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. So,
and the thing is, we have all. There's a report that people should look at. It just came out this week. It's called the Bio Initiative, BIO Initiative Report 2012, and it's a follow up of a report 2007. Even back then, the 2007 report was held up by the scientific community being the most reliable, the most responsible, most conservative assessment of the dangers of EMR. Well, this new one just came out today, it was released on January the 7th, and it actually makes the statement that electromagnetic radiation is a human carcinogen. Not a possible, not a probable, but it is a definite. And unlike these other devices, the minute you allow a smart meter on your home, you cannot shut that thing off. It's on 24 hours a day. And contrary to what hydros would have you believe, they would have you believe it only pulses six times a day. It's been proven in a court of law in California. Also, Silver Spring Network, they're the company that also makes the radio componentry. Both of those entities, in separate theaters in California, both admit that the local area network transmitter I told you about, the one that radiates for 3 kilometers, they are pulsing essentially 24 hours a day, even if they're not sending data concerning your energy consumption. They're pulsing because they need to keep the system operating. So it's what they call a network management feature, because it's all electronics.
Yeah, and to analogize for people, it's like your internet connection pinging the system to stay connected.
Absolutely. But also, it's very, very important that people understand we're not just talking smart meters here. We're talking electromagnetic radiation, because the same frequency that is so harmful in your microwave oven comes from this the smart meter, but it's even more dangerous from the smart meter, because your microwave oven does not pulse. Your smart meter does, which is far more dangerous. But then so does your Wi-Fi router. It also pulses the same frequency. So does your cordless phone. And there's nothing more dangerous in a home than your cordless phone, because it too is always on, pulsing away. Europe, at least, when you put your phone back in the cradle, the power shuts off literally. In North America, because we only have the two countries here, they don't go to that trouble. They could easily, but people don't know about it here. They're not concerned about it here. Therefore, it's a non-issue. But your cordless phone is always on here. Bluetooth is also exactly the same frequency. There are a number of other so-called wireless devices that operate on those frequencies, and we're simply not aware of it. Your laptop computers, baby monitors, Wi-Fi routers, there's nothing more dangerous. The most senior scientist in Russia is a professor by the name of Yuri Grigoryev. You can look him up. He's also the chairman emeritus of their national body, and he has said that the man has conquered the Black Plague, but now he's created the EMR.
Wow.
And he has cautioned the world, not just Canada, or he's cautioned the world to start caring for your people. We're being irresponsible. So many scientists have predicted that this is the greatest biomedical experiment in human history. Others saying that the greatest polluting element in Earth, on Earth's environment, is the proliferation of EMF. Another scientist says that we may be facing a looming epidemic of morbidity and mortality. Yet another says the need is to protect people from EMR, particularly pregnant women, embryos, and children. Now, so that when they say EMR, they're not just talking smart meters. It just happens that smart meters are the latest and they are the worst, and I'll explain to you why. Every utility envisages a community that is like a meshed grid community of having 500 to 5,000 homes. So you'll fit in there somewhere. So every community will have what they call a collector meter. That's a meter that has three transmitters in it. Its job is to relay all communications in both directions between all of the homes and the utility, wherever that utility may be. They see that every single home will have, as I mentioned, these 15 smart appliances, which means that every home will have these 17 pulsing microwave transmitters. Now, can you imagine how much, like the ambient level, the aggregate amount of EMR that all of those devices will create in just my home alone? And then my home, my data, has to get somewhere to that utility, like 20 miles away or 50 miles away or whatever. To do that, because it's microwave, it cannot do that directly. It has to do it. It has to rely on what they call relays. So my stuff will literally bounce off your smart meter, bounce off the neighbors, and so on. And if you look in the literature, it'll tell you that you can actually incur as many as 500 relays for each and every single transmission in each direction. But I honestly don't believe that any utility anywhere has ever done even computer modeling to try to even guesstimate what the aggregate amount of that EMR might be. And all of that EMR, and the utilities don't want you to think of this, all of that EMR, whatever that amount might be, is simply on top of what you already have in your neighborhood, the ambient level, from all of these other devices. And that includes your satellite radio, your GPS satellite stuff coming down at you, your AM and FM radio, all your radars, all the devices that we have.
Like
nobody ever looks at this, and you please don't want you to know about that.
Yeah, you're right, Dee.
Holy smokes.
And just to give us like some facts, like in just the last 20 years, autism has increased by 600%. ADD has increased by 400%. Asthma, 300%. Food allergies, 400%. Diabetes, 220 million people now, rising to 400 million by 2030. The male sperm, the average man has lost something like 53% in the past 50 years. At this rate, if this continues, within 70 years, the human race will cease to
reproduce.
Propagate.
Yeah.
In Toronto, just 30 years ago, 1 in 10,000 people had autism. Today, it's 1 in 88.
Mm-hmm.
Think of that number, 1 in 88.
Yeah.
The same thing in North America, the same thing in China.
Yeah, that statistic does hold true. And interestingly enough, I was speaking to some people who were talking about vaccines in terms of being a cause for autism, and I'm thinking to myself, These same children who are getting the vaccines, what is the EMR level in their home? What is the EMR level in their neighborhood? What did the combination of those two factors do to these children?
Yeah. I went out and I bought a radio frequency meter, and I bought a gauze meter. And my radio, and we live in a fairly new home in a fairly nice area, and I just called my wife and I said, honey, would you mind putting in the glass of water in a microwave oven and just turning it on? Well, it shocked me, let alone her. It really shocked me because we have an open floor concept, and we had to go back by the fireplace, which would mean I was probably back about 30 feet from the microwave oven, and it still knocked my meter right off the scale. We have two ovens in our kitchen. One is like a wall oven, and even like the wall oven, with the gauze meter, we had to be back almost a foot to avoid the radiation from it. So it's a case of where we simply, because you can't see this stuff, you can't touch it, you can't feel it, can't hear it, can't smell it. It's invisible, therefore it's not an issue. But if you wanted an analogy, just think of your shots on TV where you see China, like Shanghai or Beijing on a very smoggy day where you can barely see the high-rise towers, if you can. Well, that's the kind of environment we're living in, but we can't see it. Also, that Dr. Carlo, he gave a parallel, which I like an analogy, which I thought was very, very appropriate. He said, in terms of setting exposure limits for like a country, that is the amount of radiation any particular device can emit or a public can be subjected to, just imagine that. Think of it being like a highway speed limit. He said, if you raise that speed limit high enough, for example, like say 500 miles an hour, then nobody can ever be found guilty of speeding. Well, that's almost what we have in terms of Canada's exposure limit. If you go on to Health Canada's website, they will tell you, and I mean literally, that we have one of the safest standard. Well, they don't say standard because there's no such thing as a standard. We have one of the safest levels in the world. In actual fact, when you start talking about the non-thermal effects of microwave radiation, which is what we are talking about, but they never want to acknowledge, we actually have the lowest, the most dangerous in the world. Even Russia and China and Italy and Austria, they all have standards that are at least 100 times lower, meaning safer than ours. Austria, which has the safest in the world, their levels are 10,000 times safer than ours, lower than ours, 10,000 times.
And where do they get off setting these standards for us and making us think the opposite?
Well, it's because, like in Europe, when you think of like the Council of Europe, because you have 47 countries there, and because, with the exception of Russia, they're all much smaller countries, they're under each other's influence a lot more than here. Like in North America, excluding Mexico for a moment, all we have are Canada and the U.S. And as you know, in everything else, we just simply follow along whatever the U.S. does. Mm-hmm. And when you look at what the U.S. is doing in terms of job creation, like their energy bill, everything is geared to creating jobs in the U.S. So the heck with the people, the heck with safety. And so we followed along pretty much in their footsteps so that we... The industries here have far, far more influence, their lobbyists, in just our two countries than they could possibly have like in Europe. And that is why they are pulling all the Wi-Fi out of their schools, and we're pushing them in. And we're pushing them in here over the objection of school boards and parents. And you and I can't stop it. And I have a 93-year-old mother-in-law who just this morning phoned us to tell us that BC Hydro came along and they put a doggone meter on her house, even though she had a collar on it, even though she had it locked, even though she sent registered letters to the president of BC Hydro and to CORE saying, look, I don't want this on health grounds. Like the World Health Organization, even in 2011, acknowledged to the world that the EMR is a class 2B, which means like a possible carcinogen. Whereas this... the bioinitiative report that just came out this week, it says it is a certain, it is a human carcinogen. Would you, if you had a choice, would you allow that to go on your house, especially knowing when you're going to end up having all these multiple meters in your house of which you have no control?
And therein lies the rub, why they never informed us at first, because we all would have said no.
That's right. Well, that has been their plan. And their strategy and their strength is your ignorance.
That's right.
The more they can keep you in the dark. Well, the comparisons between this and tobacco, and for that matter, asbestos, are striking and they're odious. The only thing is, this is worse than both tobacco and asbestos combined. You know how Health Canada protected us so well for all those 40 or 50 years before they find out and finally acknowledge that tobacco is harmful? This is that we're going down the same path, only to our benefit today, we have technology like folks like you. Thank God you're there with your radio helping to spread the word. They didn't have this back in the days of tobacco. So we do have a chance of defeating this.
Yes, yes, but we all have to step up to the plate here, because a few people isn't going to do it. And as you rightly pointed out at the top of the show, you said, you know, the odd guy being able to opt out doesn't save anybody.
That's right. They have to be
the guy who opted out.
Yeah.
One of the top scientists in the U.S. is another lady by the name of Dr. Annie Sasco, S-A-S-C-O. She has three Harvard degrees, a Ph.D. in epidemiology. She headed up the International Agency for the Research on Cancer, IARC, which is an agency of the WHO, like the World Health Organization.
Mm-hmm.
And she held that position for 22 years. So that woman, that professional woman's opinion should count an awful lot. And she has come out and she has said that contrary to what industry scientists would have you believe, we have concrete, this is her word, not mine, we have concrete evidence that EMR causes cancer. And I've got testimony, like I've got probably 8 inches of testimonials of different scientists from all over the world. And any independent scientist will tell you that this is a terrible, terrible time. George Carlow, he mentioned in one of his speeches that one of his statements caught me aback and made me sit up and think, oh, we can't be using that language in Canada. But he said, you know, people need to go back and look at the Nuremberg trials right after the Second World War, where they brought the criminals to justice and they hanged like a lot of them. He said doctors back then were sent to death for what some of the scientists are doing today. And he's right. This is the worst, greatest experiment, and you and I are guinea pigs. And the shame of it is that you and I can't opt out. We have no option.
Holy smokes. This is, you know,
the same Dr. Repacoli, and please do look up his name. It's Repacholi. Even in 2007, like his last year, that particular project that he had it for 10 years, and he is the guy, the architect, and responsible for the extremely high levels of radiation that you and I must now endure. He was the guy responsible for that. And in 2007, the income for that project was something like $779,000, of which $249,000 came from government. That $529,000 came from industry, interestingly enough. And we wonder why our guidelines are skewed. The Russians have, as I mentioned, they know exactly what frequency has, what effect it has like on humans. When I say humans, I really should say like all living things. This includes like your cat or your dog at home or your budgie or the squirrel out in the tree or the deer. All animals, even like bees, honeybees. And we also have evidence, and I have it in part of my presentation, all the decimation of all the birds and the butterflies and the bees all around the world. So the evidence is unmistakable, and yet the lawyers that get in the way keep telling us that we're wrong, and Health Canada keeps telling. The biggest villain in Canada is clearly and only Health Canada. We need to put pressure on Health Canada to shed its ties with industry and start protecting the people, because they are that's the only agency that is supposed to be protecting us, and they are not.
it seems so psychopathic in what's being done.
Yeah, it's just terrible.
Yeah.
It's just terrible. There are seven different U.S. federal agencies, from the EPA, like the Environmental Protection Agency, to the National Institute of Electromagnetic Health Safety, to the Food and Drug Administration, on and on, all of whom, over the years, since over 23 years now, they've come out in turn, and in their own way, they said that EMR is dangerous to us. Several of them actually recommended that the federal government, the U.S. government, change the classification to a possible. This is 20 years before the WHO finally got around to it. Mm-hmm. So we've known about these, but it's the military and the industry pressure on the government that has kept the lid on this, just like we did in tobacco.
The military influence on the government?
Oh, absolutely.
How do you...
It's the collusion between the U.S. military and then the private industry.
Mm-hmm.
In Canada, the University of Victoria is doing experiments right now on microwave weapons, microwave warfare, University of Victoria, which people don't realize. The University of Ottawa is very much in bed, that is the research facility, with not only Health Canada, but FCC in the States, that is the Federal Communication Commission. The George Carlo, I think I mentioned that he did that study for the for the telecom industry in the U.S., and did that for about 6 years. And he came out with the same conclusion, like they only want to hear what they want to hear. Mm-hmm. And if you come out with any sort of results that are counter to their interests, they will simply bury it. And they'll discredit you.
Yeah, they'll make you look like an idiot so that people ignore your information. I mean, I was reading a post that about there's a Vancouver lawyer who is suing BC Hydro, and there was a story on CKNR radio in the area, and they were talking about all this, and it's like, you know, people don't understand that you're being assaulted, people. You're being assaulted, physically assaulted. Your generations, your future generations are being destroyed. Your infants are being microwaved to death. The SIDS rate has gone up. I mean, you're talking about dying babies here. And then there's a little issue of an item called the precautionary principle. Now, the precautionary principle, people may know, is an international, it's an accepted international standard, and it basically says that in application of anything like this, that we should be erring on the side of caution.
That's right.
We should not, and of course, our government, Health Canada, our famous and infamous Health Canada, uses the precautionary principle against people in terms of getting their proper supplementation, vitamins, herbs, all that kind of stuff. They say, well, we're using the precautionary principle. Well, in like manner, I say, excuse me, Health Canada, why are you not exercising the precautionary principle when it comes to EMR?
Yeah.
Why
I'm glad you
not?
Raised that point, Dee. I had missed it. Thank you for jogging my memory. But that same Repicoli, that Professor Michael Repicoli, when he was with the WHO, when he headed up that project for 10 years and was establishing the exposure guidelines, he's on record, and I have it here, he was on record as saying that the precautionary principle will not be applied to EMR. Can you believe that? That's the truth.
Wow.
I mean, that's absolutely incredible, preposterous.
Yeah.
But it happened, and like it's again only because like here I am. I've always been a techie all my life. I've considered myself like fairly current with whatever the technology was, and yet I was ignorant of this. I just presumed, even though all my time in the military, I presumed that I was being protected. I presumed that all these devices on this, and like I was one of the first guys in business in Vancouver that had a BlackBerry. I was one of the first. I paid $7,000 for a Toshiba 3700 laptop with a 40 megabyte hard drive, thinking, you know, this is really great. And I used to use the laptop on my lap, and I used to use the BlackBerry against my head. I never once looked in the owner's manual where, it, as you now know, we most of us know now, or at least a lot of us know, that you don't ever hold a cell phone against your head. A BlackBerry, it'll tell you in the owner's manual, keep it 0.98 inches, which means almost like an inch. Keep it an inch from your body, not your, just your head, but from your body. An Apple, an iPhone or whatever, they say keep it 5/8 of an inch from your body, not just your head, but your whole blinking body. Motorola says 1 inch. Now, what that means is that you don't put that phone, as long as that is assuming you do not have the power actually shut off. But if you, as long as you have that phone on where the power is, it can take a call or make a call, you must not put that phone in any of your pockets, whether it be your shirt pocket or your pant pocket. Don't ever use a laptop on your lap.
Well, where do you carry it then?
No one tells us this.
You know, what do we have to carry our cell phones on a stick? And what does that do to the Bluetooth industry? Ha ha.
Yeah, yeah.
They all told us, oh, use Bluetooth, you'll be safe.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah, I agree. Well, like nobody tells you that if you use a cordless phone, remember I mentioned earlier on, they're the most dangerous thing in your house next to a microwave oven. But you'll increase, if you have one of those or like a system in your house, like we did, by the way, we had six of them. But over a 10-year period, your chances of getting cancer or malignant glioma will increase by 470%. That just took me back. I should also mention, because when we're talking EMR, we're also talking about cell phone towers. Like in Melbourne, Australia, one tower, seven tumors in the same building. In San Diego University, one university campus, one building, eight cancers from that same building. And this goes on and on, like around the world, wherever you look.
Yeah, that was
but
last
people don't
year,
realize
too,
that.
Wasn't it?
I've done a look. I've done a Google cell phone towers in Canada, and I've had a look at the UBC, Okanagan campus, and there's a tower right smack in the middle of the campus, and no one's aware of it. All the kids are being radiated. All the staff are. All the faculty are, and no one knows this. Right downtown in Kelowna, there's the Okanagan College, and by golly, there are two towers there with three transmitters there, and nobody there knows. None of the residents know, and these things all radiate for about 20 miles on, like, level terrain. But nobody knows, and nobody cares. And did you also know that nobody, the municipal government, your provincial government, no one can stop Rogers or Shaw or Telus or Bell from coming in and putting up a cell phone tower wherever they want? You cannot
stop
them.
I saw a commercial.
There used to be a regulation of 15 meters where if it was 15 meters or taller, they had to at least, out of courtesy, consult with the municipal government. But the government could not stop them. So what the utilities had done just fairly recently, they started building their towers 14.9 meters. And now they never have to consult with anybody.
Oh, isn't that cute? You know, I saw a commercial on American TV, and I've been seeing it pop up here and there all over the place. One of the American cell phone companies, I believe it's Verizon, but what they're bragging about is that they've got 43,010 towers in the United States.
Wow.
43,010.
Wow.
They were very specific.
Yeah. Well, the shame is, I mean, like the listener must not ever think for one moment that I'm against technology. I'm absolutely all for technology, but I'm only for safe technology. And I can tell you without fear of any a challenge that none of this technology has been tested. Your smart meters have never been tested anywhere in the world. Nobody, if you go on any of the utilities, whether it's the Ontario Hydro or BC Hydro or Fortis BC, they'll tell you it's safe. But you have to look at what they're saying. No one's ever tested a smart meter for safety. Wireless radiation has never been tested. Your cell phones have never been tested for safety. Your Wi-Fi routers have never been tested. Your cordless phone, none of those have been tested. And that's where Health Canada has let us down.
Yeah, under
but people
their
don't know
supposedly
this.
Excellent Consumer Product Safety Act, ha-ha. But in
that
particular act, there is a clause
even
in that
the, even
act.
Like, the kind of work I did, I used to report into the communications branch of the National Research Council when I was in signals intelligence has changed now, but they are indeed the premier science agency in Canada, the National Research Council.
Mm-hmm.
Just in 2010, one of their reports came out and said that many Canadians are being exposed to dangerous levels of radiation. And this is their journal Environmental Review, so you should be able to look that up. It concludes that a new biologically-based guideline is needed instead of the dangerous, outdated thermal guidelines that now exist. That's Canada's own NRC.
Mm-hmm. And yet things are going ahead, and nobody is questioning anything, and we are
like,
still...
How can we ignore... we've had cell phones in Canada for probably 20, maybe 25 years, but they've had them in Europe for probably 10 years longer. The scientists have been able to study cell phone EMR for over 30 years now. So they know categorically, and they state categorically, that these things are harmful. And they can also tell you that the latency period for any EMR, whether it's from a phone or a router or your like a smart meter, is going to be something in excess of 10 years, at least 10 years. For some, it might be 20. Some, even maybe 30, perhaps. And there's some of us that won't be affected by EMR at all, just like with tobacco. Some people smoked for 30 years, drank a quart of whiskey, and they had good health, relatively speaking. But generally speaking, like, the population will be hurt. A lot of us will be hurt.
Yeah, and we don't know who.
That's
Could
exactly
be anybody.
Right.
Could be any of us.
But something else that people must realize, that the price of your house, the minute you let a smart meter get on your house, your real estate value will go down. Something else, too. Because we're becoming enlightened about this, when you go looking for your next home, you must get a realtor who either is him or herself cognizant of this stuff, or else you must give them specific instructions. I don't want to be within a mile of a transmission tower, because they're also known. They're class 2B carcinogen as well. They cause leukemia and cancers. So don't be within a mile of a cell phone tower. Don't be within 400 meters. A high voltage tower, I beg your pardon, a mile of a high voltage tower, high transmission lines. Don't be within 400 or 500 meters of a cell phone tower. And for God's sake, don't ever buy a house with a smart meter. The trouble with that is we have people out here, like in our association, they've actually moved twice now, because they moved to get away from a smart meter or a cell phone tower, and that the home that they bought, lo and behold, within a short while, along comes another doggone cell phone tower.
Uh-huh.
So they have to move again.
So where can we go? You know, it's like, where can we go to get away from this? It's everywhere.
Well, this is where the public have to stop being apathetic. Like, I've never been an activist in my life, and here I am at my age.
Uh-huh.
And I'm really an activist now. Like, I'm angry at the stuff that is happening. I've been to see my member of parliament. I've been to see my MLA. I've written to the Minister of National Defense. I've written to the Prime Minister of Canada. I get kind of perfunctory answers from the last two. Like, somebody on their staff just gave me a kind of a token, polite
acknowledgement. Yeah, we got your email, thanks.
But the real pressure should come from your MLA and your MP, and that's not happening. But enough people got up and became active and became organized, you would make those MLAs and MPs take action because they want to get elected.
Interesting. You know, there was something that was said, maybe you can answer this for me. There was something said by Cindy Vershoor, who is the designated spokesperson for BC Hydro, for those who don't know. And she was she made a statement at the Vancouver Council meeting last year, where they were discussing smart meters, and she said, "It's an international standard." Okay, that was the quote that was repeated, reposted in mainstream media and everywhere else. And I'm wondering, what international standard?
Well, the only thing she could be referring to is what they call Canada's exposure limit. And I'm glad you raised that. That's another very interesting point that nobody wants to talk about, and very few people know. Like, the exposure limit, which means it limits the amount of exposure to which you and I can be subjected. But that means from all sources, not just one, like, not just the smart meter, which is the way Hydro would like you to think, but it's from all of these devices, like the ambient level.
Mm-hmm.
But and again, I've lost my thought, I apologize. The standard that she's referring to, that's just in North America. That's Health Canada's standard, which is like 1,000 microwatts per centimeter square, and that's shared by the FCC in the U.S. Well, what she doesn't tell you, that when that standard was established about 15 years ago, that applied to a 6-foot-tall man that weighed 220 pounds that had an 11-pound head.
That lets me out.
And that exposure protected him, supposedly, for a period of just 6 minutes, nothing more.
Great.
In the U.S., they have the same standard, but they allow a 30-minute exposure period. Now, what industry has done with the cooperation, obviously, of government, they've allowed that to kind of evaporate, and they've taken some huge liberty, and they've extended that 6-minute exposure, and they apply that now to you 24 hours a day in perpetuity. Isn't that terrible?
Lovely.
Well,
and even, to make matters worse, if you look at what the Russians have done, I mean, I used to think the Russians were the bad guys, and we were the good guys. The Russians have different standards for workers, but their standards cover like all day coverage. And they also have different standards for the civilian population, and they address children. And they're the ones who are leading the way in the world, saying like, we need to protect embryos. We need to protect pregnant mothers. We need to protect young children. And we're not doing that. And Health Canada doesn't even acknowledge that. Health Canada applies the same highway speed of 500 miles an hour, that analogy, that same atrocious, dangerous level to everybody, including a brand new child or the embryo inside some woman's abdomen. Isn't that disgraceful?
Unbelievable.
That's how bad it is.
I mean, this frequency, what we're really referring to overall, you could just call it frequency modulation. And, and I'm reminded of the weapons even from Star Trek.
Yeah.
Right, where they talk about phasers. I mean, EMR is basically, it's a phaser. What it is, it affects the vibratory level of your body, of everything organic and everything inorganic. Everything is held together by electromagnetism. It's a binary universe that operates on positive, negative, and attraction and repulsion. The same as everything else. It's universal. And here they are altering that, right? And I look at Star Trek and Gene Roddenberry, and I go, "What phase shifter and phase disruptors, the Romulan disruptors, which basically ripped apart your molecules so they could not be put back together again."
Yeah.
You know, phasers on stun, phasers on kill. This is the same stuff.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same that you're talking about. Yeah. They are weapons. You are absolutely bang on. These are weapons.
Well, if you just Google electronic warfare weapons, you'll be surprised at what comes up. Like, I have a whole catalog here. The shocking thing is, like the Chinese. That brings up another point. The Chinese, they will have smart meters, and the Russians will have smart meters, but neither of them would be so stupid to go wireless, only from a national defense point of view. Like, there's nothing in the world more vulnerable than a wireless radio system. I can say that from my own background in electronic warfare. Even back in those days, with the technology we had then, we could defeat anything that was wireless. And today, when they've got what they call directed energy weapons, which are like laser weapons, and they've got electromagnetic pulse, they can destroy, and the Americans in particular, and I'm sure that the Russians are there as well, they have weapons that will knock out any electronics, period. And they even have them that will knock out electronics, but they won't hurt people. So, and that's why I say at the outset, when the minute the utilities chose wireless, they plunged themselves unwittingly into the military world, of which they're ill-prepared and ignorant.
Yeah, but follow the money.
Oh, well, it's the most powerful industry in the world today. Their revenues are some in the trillions of dollars.
Uh-huh.
When Canada went from analog TV to digital, they had to vacate the frequency band on which they were operating. They went up to like a higher band. When they vacated that band, they put that band up for auction. This was started in the U.S., that practice, but it just naturally came over the border to Canada. And our government, Industry Canada, we realize something in excess of $4 billion revenue. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge revenue generator. Every single tower the telecom industry put up across the country, they get money from. Every license.
Wow.
This year, 2013, they'll be putting up the 700 megahertz band. And all the telcos want to a portion of that. They want to operate on that because 700 megahertz, those frequencies, will penetrate concrete even better. They'll be able to get down into underground parking and down into the elevator shafts, like in the bottom, whereas they cannot quite do that yet. But so when they put that frequency band, like the 700 megahertz band, up for auction, everybody will be clamoring to get their piece of it, and that'll give Revenue Canada again another $4 or more billion.
Yeah, and
the bottom line is dollars.
Yeah, and not only that, Jerry, look at the PR aspect of this and how they suck people in to say, "Oh, this is wonderful. I got to have that." Because
that's right.
They hate the idea of, I'm losing my calls because I get in an elevator. I'm losing it.
Yep.
I'm going to lose you. I'm under a bridge. I'm going to lose you. I'm in the parking garage. Right?
Yep.
Then they say, oh, well, great. I won't lose any more calls. Well, how about you're going to lose your hair? You're going to lose your health? And you might lose your life.
Yeah.
For your
People who are don't believe me at all, there's an extremely good video out there I would recommend anybody watch. And it's by a doctor, a PhD in Seattle, Washington. His name is Klinghardt, Klinghardt, Heinrich Klinghardt. And he makes reference to like 6,000 studies over the last 70 years. But he will tell you, for example, this will really hit home. He'll say that he'll take a meter, like a radio frequency meter, much similar to mine, and he can go into the home of a woman who's recently become pregnant. And he can tell her with some degree of certainty whether or not she will have a child with autism. Isn't that shocking?
Holy smokes.
Yeah. Also, in Italy this year, for the very first time ever in history, the Italian Supreme Court actually found a telephone company liable. They found that the executive, luckily he was an executive, he'd been using a cell phone for 12 years, and he came down with cancer, and so he sued them. And by golly, for the first time in history, an Italian Supreme Court found in his favor. So that's a real precedent setter.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's a positive. It's a positive outcropping for sure. But when do Canadians hear about this? When do we find out that, guess what, guys? We're being made sick and we should and could be suing.
We need people more like you, more like Ruth and Donalda and Barbara. You got to keep on doing the yeoman job you're doing.
Well, we try. You know, we can only do so much. But I've been saying for a long time, you know, people have to stop acting like sheep. They are having a hard time with their lives. They've got stress. They've got, you know, money problems, job stress, family stress, educational stress, you name it. And they trust the people in power.
That's right.
They trust them.
Well,
blindly.
So do I. I mean, I'm as guilty as anybody else.
Yeah, well, you know what? I've got none of your skills. But I do have a couple of working brain cells. And all it takes is
Oh, now you're making fun of me.
All it takes is 5 minutes of attention. And you figure these things out.
I agree.
You know, so what's it worth, people? 5 minutes.
Yeah.
5 minutes to save your life, to save your children.
Yeah.
But then what
and
do
today,
you do
there are
with
over
that?
6 billion. There are over 6 billion cell phones in the world today.
Oh, yeah. That's,
brain
that's
cancer has been increased by 50% in 10 years.
Yep, so that's almost everybody in the world has a cell phone.
Yeah. And one last comment, if I may, people should not use a cell phone inside the car. It's the most dangerous place to use a cell phone, simply because your car is like a metal container. And so your cell phone has to work doubly hard to operate like at peak power to try to escape the metal enclosure in which you are.
Because you're inside a Faraday cage.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
Holy smokes, and people aren't told that. And they think they're safe on their Bluetooth, and they think they're safe with everything. Oh
yeah.
My God!
Yeah. And also, insurance companies will not insure any of these companies that are foisting these electronics on it, like the wireless devices, the cell phones, your smart. They're not insured for health ill effects.
That's good to know.
Yeah, for sure. Well, of course, that raises the question, would your home insurance be applicable given that your smart meter is neither underwriter laboratory tested nor CSA approved?
Yeah.
Is your insurance still good?
Yeah, and what about all the fires they're causing?
Well, there have been a huge number of fires here. In fact, there was one just a couple of days ago. And not once does any utility in any jurisdiction I follow, like around the world, not once has a utility admitted culpability nor financial responsibility. They always, in every single case, without exception, they put the blame on you or you're at the base of your meter or that your home has old wiring.
Unbelievable.
For sure.
We're coming up to the top of the hour again, Christopher, and we got to bring Curtis Bennett in.
Of course.
But I can just imagine another hour of what you've been talking about expanded in another direction. Oh my Lord! I hope people are taking notes.
So heavy. I just can't. It's so overwhelming with the smart meters, the phones, and everything. It's like so overwhelming. I just don't see the consequence of it. We're going to have more and more people.
Mind around this.
We're going to have more and more people with all kinds of cancers and other conditions.
Yep.
It's terrible.
Sure.
Oh, it's terrible indeed. That is the word. It is indeed terrible. And it's going to get worse until people stand up and claim their rights.
That's right.
Claim their rights. Well, Jerry, thank you so much for enlightening us all. Thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Absolute pleasure.
It's been a great pleasure for us and a great horror. Nothing to do with you personally, sorry for your luck, but you know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying. You. Well, we'll look forward to doing this again in the near future. We'll move on to Curtis Bennett now with our great thanks again to Jerry Flynn.
Thanks again.
And we would like to get you back, really. Like, you just spoke throughout the whole hour today, and it's just so illuminating. We would like to get you back.
I'd be
just
delighted.
Wait, his twin is coming on next.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.
Bye-bye, guys.
So we're off air now?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. Maybe. Wow, that was so heavy, Dee. I can't. All these nightmarish things being foisted upon us.
Well, I have to say, Jerry really put it in a very clear and understandable way, which is exactly what people need to realize. This is not something we can ignore because it's too technical. And Curtis will be joining us right away, and what he has to explain is, if you thought the first hour was heavy, well, buckle up. That's all I can say. Buckle up. Yeah, oh no, buckle up.
Okay.
You know, make sure your feet are on the ground. Because now, is Curtis with us yet?
Yes, I think he is, yes.
Are you there,
can
Curtis?
Can you hear me okay, Dee?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, do you guys want me to take off from here? Are we live and ready to go?
Yeah, well, we're on the air. Maybe Dee wants to just introduce you just briefly.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to let this gentleman who's coming on now, his name is Curtis Bennett. He is an interprovincial journeyman Red Seal electrician. That's just the start of the iceberg. That's just the tip of the iceberg of this man's qualifications. And I will let Curtis explain to you what his qualifications are, just so you know that when this man speaks, he speaks with a voice of authority. There isn't anybody that I know of, I haven't seen anybody's credentials that match or supersede his own. So we've got the capo de capi of the experts in EMR. We've had the military side and the application side. Now this is the guy who knows all about the effects of EMR and lectures to doctors. Do you not, Curtis?
Yes, I do. Is a matter of fact, go from here?
Yes.
Absolutely. Go for it.
Okay, something that's going to be really important, for your audience to understand with this is that, we're not lobbyists of any particular kind. After a lot of years, I'm just blessed to be able to direct and manage a first response consulting group, and we've literally consulted for every industry that there is, for oil, for gas, for energy companies, for manufacturing, the Syncrudes, the Suncors, lumber mills, fire departments. We consulted after 9/11 on an international security issue that the world missed. And with the whole point, and we consult for insurers. Now, the whole point being is that, we're very technical, typically behind-the-scenes professionals, but our work is technical, it's accurate. We're not lobbyists of any kind. We don't take anything for granted. We don't take anybody's word for anything. We've even investigated medicine. So when it came to this, and my background specifically is, I'm an interprovincial journeyman electrician, which means that I've got provincial and national credentials, as a journeyman electrician. And people need to understand that, electricians aren't just people that run around, pulling wires in your buildings. Our backgrounds are magnetic fields, electromagnetic fields. We harness the electron so that we can install that in your homes. We power those towers. Our backgrounds are specific to frequencies. On top of that, I'm a building construction engineering technologist, and that is every aspect of construction from contracts to completions. So we utilize that for building envelope performance, energy performance of buildings. Now, on top of that, I've got a 33-year background in infrared technology, which has seen temperature beyond our visible spectrum. I never understood quite what that would mean over time, but that just allows us to see temperature, where every science professional is literally blind to temperature. We calculate for temperature. We design everything for temperature. We consider temperature. Diseases and infections are temperature-related. And what I did differently, even not understanding at the time what I was doing, is I built a double education specifically to complement that background, and that took us into arenas that I just never even thought we'd consult in, such as, the Department of Fisheries and Oceans ended up using work we did imaging groundwater from the air. And groundwater is where fish spawn. It's what we want to protect environmentally. Well, we just turned that into a temperature application that had you could just see it at different times of the year, and just so that they could protect that and do that better. Again, working with the military, with oil and gas, we would point out oil, gas, lumber, et cetera. We would examine their electrical systems, inspect their electrical systems under load to prevent explosions, loss of life, loss of economy. Same thing with fire departments. We initiated and started infrared in fire departments to let firefighters see through the smoke to keep these guys safe, to do better jobs for all of us. Now, the reason I tell you all of this, too, is even with the work we did with medicine, we developed imaging applications to see inflammation, which is with injury or infection, there's an inflammatory response. Medicine is blind to temperature. The fact that they can't see inflammation, they couldn't see cancers. So we developed imaging applications with a non-invasive technology to allow doctors to see this. We don't diagnose. We just wanted them to see this without using an invasive a radiation like an X-ray or CT scans, etc. And it took a lot of years to do that, to the point where I now lecture medical education for education credits doctors, nurses, dentists, etc. require for licensing, and that's recognized in North America. Now, and everything we're doing, too, and working for insurers, it's about saving money, saving lives. I don't have a personal opinion. It's a heck of a thing to have a job where you theoretically consult to take a life and save a life in the same day. But the bottom line is it's just a very technical job. And the reason I want people to know this is we're not lobbyists, and I want people that are listening to this, and that includes lawyers, professionals, and scientists, and engineering professionals and all the above, to just supplement what I talked to you about with your own educations and expand on this, because it is such a horrific issue that I never in my lifetime expected to talk about. But what happened for us is that it was actually medicine and CBC News came across Wi-Fi in schools, and they started talking about parents were talking about their children being hurt in schools, and I actually watched a few news outlets, and I just saw school boards and industry being disrespectful to the parents. When I actually had to ask them, I said, what the heck is Wi-Fi? And they said, oh, they're using a wireless radiation in schools to talk to wireless computers. And I said, you cannot blast frequencies around a room. I said, you can't do that. I said, you're going to cause problems. You're going to interfere with them. So what we did, also because we lecture medical education, is we dug into this and we looked for the code associated with it, because everybody can understand we have building codes, we have electrical codes. All of these things aren't, you know, just our opinions out there. We don't just do something for the heck of it. There are codes related to everything. And here's something that was horrible that we found is, and again, I say this with all the required humility in the world, and it is only the combination of my experience that they put this on my desk and it allowed me to actually point this out. Even though the codes and the safety standards related to exposure to these frequencies is based on decades of scientific literature, the codes actually admit they're missing the mechanism linking these frequencies to adverse health effects. Now, the meat and potatoes behind a code, make no mistake about it, is Health Canada's Safety Code 6 is about the exposure, the limits of human exposures to humans to these frequencies. And the meat and potatoes of the code says this: the unintentional stimulation of tissue is to be avoided, as is the heat effect. Now, intentional stimulation is when you go to the doctor's office. You're put in an intended position of use. They're going to X-ray you. You're going to hold still. They're going to take an image. It's done in a very controlled environment with protective clothing. Now, so that breaks it down to this: stimulation of tissue is to be avoided. Now, it also says this: experimental studies show it can lead to nerve and muscle depolarization. Now, nerve and muscle depolarization is a natural process of the body, but when you initiate this with an electromagnetic trigger, it actually interferes with your hormonal system, your immune system, and your nervous system at the same time. But what Health Canada and the world standards were missing is, how are the frequencies actually hitting people? Now, Jerry touched on some of this that's really important, because when you go to our website or you look up something called the specific absorption rate, this is what Canada uses. This is what everybody uses, is the specific absorption rate. It shows you a plastic model of a head, and the head and shoulders, and the head has got a hole in it where they pour in a fluid to simulate body tissue. They strap a cell phone to the side of the head on a bracket, and they actually hold the cell phone out, industry standards, that little bit away from your head, and then the top of the head has actually got a thermometer or a temperature probe in it. So what they do is they run the cell phone, they measured the power density, which means watts, it means you're under load, and then they measured to the side of the skull where they said, okay, it's radiating a localized area of the skull right here. The temperature probe is actually in the top of the head, so they use a temperature probe like you would on your turkey to see if there's heat or no heat. When I first saw the test in itself, it is just ridiculous and archaic science that they would use a pot of soup with a temperature probe to determine what these frequencies were doing. Now, I want you guys to keep in mind, especially for skeptical people out there, I didn't take anybody's word for anything with this. We dove into this, and I called Industry Canada, I called Health Canada, and I said, that's it for testing, and you're going to change your code. You will change safety code 6 if deemed necessary. As soon as you find this mechanism linking the frequencies to adverse health effects, yes. I said, okay, with that plastic model you're using, how many cell phone towers were talking to the cell phone when you did this? And they said, we didn't include the towers. They didn't include the antennas. Now, if you think about this, you're talking about an end-use device. You're not even talking about a full circuit. The phone's not going to work unless it's talking to towers, unless you know the angle that it's hitting humans. Well, as soon as you find out they left out the towers, then you take into consideration, now you've got humans being hit from head to toe and from different angles. The next question to them was, which electrical properties did you consider with human biological systems, with bioelectricity? And the radiation specialist, and again, this is because it's not his area of expertise, his statement to me was, they're not electrical.
Oh.
Meaning humans had no electrical properties. And that is how they came up with that ridiculous, archaic, stupid science based on thermal and non-thermal effects. At higher radiation, they said they appear to be heating up.
And they have
lower radiation, they said, listen, we're not picking up any effects, so they can't be hurting people. And here's that worst part, is that when frequencies go through walls and roofs, they go through you. They go through tissue. And that's what makes these dangerous. Now, here's where it even gets more troubling. When it came to and that was with cell phone tests, they use the same test for Wi-Fi in schools. They use the same test for smart meters. Now, with Wi-Fi in schools, Health Canada says this. Health Canada ridiculously says this. The Wi-Fi computer isn't held against your head like a cell phone, so it's good for 24/7 exposure. But they left out the routers in the classroom radiating to children with the teachers and everybody else in the circuit. Smart meters were considered safe to use because the smart meter's not held against your head like a cell phone, but they left out smart meter routers, smart meter towers, the antennas, the relays. The fact that these frequencies, like you even heard Jerry say this, they're covering big geographical areas and square miles. Now, so what we did within our duty is we reported in September of 2010 to Health Canada that here were the errors or omissions missing in Safety Code 6 in world standards, and they needed to adapt the code immediately because the frequencies were illegal as applied. You can't stimulate tissue and cause neurological damage to people and make money at it. Well, Health Canada responded with a generic letter from the minister, giving us just a bunch of nonsense, which really just isn't good to do. But what happened after that is we were then contacted by Canadian Parliament Standing Committee on Health, and at their request, we provided expert witness on October 26th for that committee meeting, saying, here are the errors or omissions in Safety Code 6. And Safety Code 6, I said, you guys can verify this immediately. The peer-reviewed science you're looking for is called electricity. We create electricity with electromagnetic fields in a conductor. The way they're blasting these frequencies around, these are the electromagnetic fields, and you are the conductor. Your biological systems are the conductor. The fetus is the conductor. Plants and trees and everything in the coverage area. Now, what the report of the Standing Committee came out and the NDP put in there, specific to the reporting, my credentials, specific to Martin Lank, specific to Dr. Goldsworthy, I believe, that Health Canada was supposed to thoroughly investigate, and that was in December of 2010. At the same time that this was going on, we had accelerated this so that we had qualified to medical education, that here is what they had missed regarding these international standards, and that's the international standards. So January of 2011, the danger of these frequencies was lectured in medical education for education credits, and that's required for medical licensing, approved by boards of medicine, immediately applicable throughout the whole of the United States and all 50 states. And now you were talking about this earlier on because it did effectively change diagnosis. If you stimulate that body hit by these frequencies from head to toe, you know, you've got doctors responding to a multitude of symptoms on this. Now, here's where the horrible part is that Health Canada got political. Don't know why they did. That's their problem. They're the ones that are going to go to jail for it. And the reason being is this. We reported this to our jurisdictional authority for all particular reasons, telling them to duck. You're not insured for it. As soon as lawyers, as soon as insurers find out that, oh, the mechanism has been found and it's these frequencies hitting people and going through their bodies that is causing these adverse health effects, you're going to create a whole multitude of problems. And that's not including radiating our agriculture, radiating trees, radiating all of the above. What happened with this, too, is that everybody heard that the World Health Organization, May 31st of 2011, reported that cell phones were possibly carcinogenic. And that's but guess what? As soon as they reported possibly, well, you can imagine what happens when lawyers in a rich industry grabs a hold of a word like possible. They took that to court and said, listen, it's possibly carcinogenic. Well, it's possibly not. If Health Canada and the Conservative government would have done their job and reported to the World Health Organization, the FCC, and everybody, guess what? The World Health Organization would have reported this as carcinogenic without a doubt. Because once you've incorporated the frequencies hitting people from head to toe, they left out the routers, they left out the antennas, they left out the relays, they left out the blanket coverage of these areas. And then you include people's electrical properties, the bioelectrical systems, literally billions of frequencies in a frequency equation, you have biological plausibility, causality, reproducibility, and guess what? That substantiates what Ole Johansson has been reporting for years, Barry Trower, David Carpenter. A bad thing about the Bioinitiative report is this, is that it's not incorporating that the dangers of the frequencies is now lectured in medical education. Causation has been found, but here's what's really important to people. It substantiates all those horrible health effects. Now, even Environment Canada, when we phoned the Auditor General's office to get involved in this, the Auditor General asked us and provided me with every study done, every environmental petition to the government regarding telecommunications, frequencies, and the interruption with people, whatever complaint people had, and they said, show us something different that everybody missed. And Dr. Havis came the closest on all of this. And she just missed it by a little because, not being an electrical professional, she didn't pick up that, the frequencies were hitting people from head to toe. They left it out. They left out the towers. They left out the biological frequencies of people. Because here's what Dr. Havis reported. 1,000 microwatts per square centimeter of your body, and she's reporting with studies, altered brainwave activity of 1 microwatt. 120 microwatts is leukemias and cancers and these horrific effects. And all Health Canada responded with was, oh well, it's below the limit, so we're okay with this, instead of there is no acceptable radio frequencies of human beings or biological systems or anything for that particular matter. There's no exception. You think of human beings.
Yeah.
We are, everybody thinks about that little cable that you plug into your television, you think of that little thin wire in there, that's a human being, except we're not surrounded by that white insulation and that reflective coating that is absolutely supposed to stop that interference from electromagnetic interruption or radio frequency interruption. And here's what's so important with this. Even in medicine, for me to lecture in medicine and tell doctors this is effectively changed diagnosis with these frequencies hitting people from head to toe. Dee, you and I had a very brief discussion when you talked about, here's this lethargic baby that's not moving its hands or legs.
Uh-huh.
They're doing what a baby should. Here I'm getting calls on birth defects. Here I'm getting these pictures of mutated chicks because of radiated eggs. And these frequencies are going through humans, they're going through our baby girls, they're radiating their eggs, and this is a frequency weapon is applied. Now, and why our government has done what they've done, listen, that's up to them. They're going to have to answer to this, but they are recklessly endangering the public. But here's what's most important with this right now. Right now, Health Canada Safety Code 6 is supposed to be being revised by Health Canada. That doesn't excuse them for what they've done for the last 2 years in ignoring this. But they've also supposedly incorporated the Royal Society of Canada. And the Royal Society of Canada is an independent body of scientists, and they need to incorporate all these professionals into this, but all they're going to do is substantiate that these frequencies are illegal as applied. You can wire this. There are particular reasons we wire things. There are particular reasons we wire classrooms. Instead of radiating our children, radiating our teachers, the damage, the lawsuits. And here's a real kicker on this end here. We were retained by structural engineers to inspect a $200 million high-rise, and this is in Kelowna. Well, we look at this high-rise, we go through it, we take images of all the energy deficiencies, the insulation missing behind walls, the air infiltration, all the above. We get down to look at the meter bases. So here's the electrical room at the bottom of this high-rise, and the structural engineer talks about smart meters. And we talked about smart meters, and he said, well, they're going to put smart meters on here. They're a low-emission device instead of, you know, smart meters themselves are supposed to be a low-emission device, but they only considered them as an end-use device. Like BC Hydro says, 10 feet from the meter makes you safe, but their own wiring diagram shows the routers, the collectors, completing that equation. Now imagine this for me to report to that engineer. You can't blast those freaks through a wall because they will make your building illegal. You're going to cause high-speed vibrations of the structural components of the building, as well as the fire separations. And they will try to change direction molecularly at twice the speed of the frequencies. So with the smart meter frequency at 900 megahertz, you've got building molecules. You think of concrete trying to literally change direction 180 degrees, 1.8 billion times a second. Wi-Fi going through your baby girls, 2.4 gigahertz. They're trying to polarize and change direction inside their bodies 4.8 billion times per second. And they wonder why there's a heat effect. Not only are you inducing electrical currents into these people and inducing them electrically, you're causing this high-speed polarization. So it's just amazing to me to here we are now as a registered intervener and watching this process where Fortis is applied to Fortis BC is applied to the BC Utilities Commission to put in wireless smart meters. Now, everybody needs to understand this, too. The reason that they want to do this is it's just easier to, if you even went to your place and you said, Curtis, what's faster and easier for me to put in a Wi-Fi router or to pull wires? It's obvious to put in the router, but you've got other considerations that they haven't thought about. So here is Fortis applying to do wireless over 17,000 square kilometers.
Mm-hmm. And they
but in order to even do their application, they had to put in an alternative, which is wired smart meters.
Yeah, and they knew the difference in advance. They knew all this.
Well, they knew all this, but if they could get away with it being $60 million cheaper, so they thought to radiate this. But you can imagine this. Here's the horrible part, quite frankly, when greed and stupidity get together and with politicians that aren't doing their jobs. And I don't care why. I don't care about any part of that. But when these guys get together and they say, hey, there's an error in this code, and they might possibly hurt people, but they might possibly not hurt people, but they say the science is missing. Well, engineers and real science professionals of any particular kind would have said, we better not proceed with this until we find out what's missing. But these guys said, okay, listen, we can go ahead and radiate this, but we left out the routers. We left out that, oh, Fortis is going to have to blanket. Now, you guys imagine this. They are going to blanket 17,000 square kilometers with high-speed frequencies that, as Jerry said, we are not electrically compatible. Neither are the birds, the bees, neither are the leaves, the plants, anything in there, orchards, crops. Anything biological, plus they're going to also radiate your buildings, plus they're also going to cause, you know, accelerated corrosion of infrastructure.
Let me ask
the frequencies
you something.
Being blasted over that area are going to induce electrical charges in highly volatile areas.
Curtis, let me ask
So imagine
you
the horrific way for me to be talking to you guys, and that is separate of BC Hydro having unqualified laborers swap these meters under load and start electrical fires and then blame the homeowner.
Now, question for you. Last year and the year before in the city of Toronto, we had unexplained dropping of massive panes of plate glass from high-rise structures downtown. Now, we know that downtown Toronto is a complete nest of Wi-Fi. There is nowhere downtown Toronto that you are not exposed to Wi-Fi in huge amounts. It is like being dumped into a whirlpool where something else would be a bathtub. And these things, these panes of glass, just they fell many, many stories and crashed down to the street below. They did some damage. Fortunately, I don't think anybody was killed or injured just by sheer stroke of luck. But they're asking themselves, how did this happen? Was it wind? Was it what? Well, they're putting these metal fasteners on these panes. And the there are people now.
You think about that too. You think about that from a few different ways. Now, and one, especially when you attribute it to frequencies. Some of the work that we did was actually related to Ontario and other areas as well, as when they said to us that urban heat islands were causing just a massive energy consumption, this big energy draw. That here's an example. Los Angeles alone was spending $100 million a year responding to urban heat islands. So buildings are designed with very specific temperature. So, but here's also an electromagnetic field, something for you to think about with the electromagnetic field. What we did is we imaged buildings are designed with very specific temperatures, and they're supposed to fluctuate within weather extremes and regional temperatures. And building codes also say this: watch out for solar radiation. Well, we imaged buildings and UV or EMFs interacting with buildings, causing the buildings to generate heat close to boiling temperature. Now, one, that's going to cause the building to expand and contract more than it's designed for. But when you talk about, you know, could the corrosion of these building components cause those windows to fall out? You can't rule it out. Could this high-speed vibration, you think that if we took something and caused it and flipped it upside down, billions of times a second, and we're doing this at a molecular level, there anything that's going through is interacting like this.
Well,
and anything else is bouncing off and hitting something else. Could it affect those components? Absolutely. But and more importantly, buildings, we design buildings to handle their seismic load, their wind loads, anything related to an earthquake. We did not consider molecular earthquakes caused by these frequencies going through walls and roofs, and even all municipalities. These buildings are being hit, and that is now an absolute consideration, what you just said.
Whoa. So molecular.
Well, imagine buildings being illegal. Buildings being illegal, and here's something we just experienced with now, and here's what's Safety Code 6, and I want to just clarify this too. People, there are some people that are talk about Safety Code 6 just being, you know, something that's, you know, you can do or not do. Safety Code 6 is the law related to human exposure to these frequencies. This is why the BC Utilities Commission has to comply with Safety Code 6, which means no stimulation of tissue. BC Hydro has to comply with Safety Code 6, same standards as the FCC. And guess what else? The Canadian Wireless Telecommunications Association Act, towers and antennas, and the antennas on towers, it have to comply with Safety Code 6. It is mandatory and a condition of license for Industry Canada. And that has now changed. Those frequencies are illegal as applied. And here's an example of that. Here's a church. Now, there's a Marcy Kloparchuk in Edmonton. Here's a teacher concerned about these frequencies. Now, they're putting up a tower in a church close to her house. So when she called me and asked about this tower on the church and would I sit in a city hall meeting in Edmonton and listen to this via phone, you imagine this. Here's the city that gets in this. So here's a church that wants to make some money. They don't know any better. They didn't talk about how many antennas are going on the tower, but they talked about putting this on the church. Now the city got involved and said, listen, we don't have a say in this. Industry Canada provides the license for this, as Jerry was talking about. Industry Canada Professional Communications. All we have is a land use aspect to deal with this. Land use doesn't include those frequencies bouncing out 20 miles outside that church lot. and radiating everything in all different directions, and including Edmonton doesn't know that. The city, the municipality doesn't know. Oh, you're radiating our union employees. We're not negotiating for that. You're radiating their buildings. You're compromising structures. And before I forget this train of thought, here's what's important too. The FCC now is adopting and changing their specific absorption rate. That same archaic model, and they've actually got a draft bill. And it's called, I think, H.R. 6358. And this is actually brought forward by Congressman Dennis Kucinich. But guess what with this? They're talking about exactly one of the things that Jerry was talking about as well, is the combination of all of these frequencies, what they're doing and how they're affecting so many. So that they've asked the FCC to get into this, the EPA to get into this. And here's what's important. As soon as they incorporate the towers radiating entire states, these large geographical areas, as soon as they incorporate with even electrical engineers, oh, we left out a whole bunch of frequencies, or the fact that they're bioelectric and not just a hunk of tissue heating, these frequencies are going to be illegal as applied. They have to wire them. They have to wire schools. And I say that, too, as a lover of technology. I'm jealous when I even watch things where they say, look at this new app on my smart device. I love the applications. I just don't like the fact that it's a wireless device. And even holding that against your head, you know, you put that in your phone, you put that in your pocket, you think you've got a tower antenna or two or three or whatever angles they're hitting you at, it's hitting you in your testicles. It's hitting you in your breasts. It's hitting you from head to toe. And it is just absolutely horribly illegal. Environmental groups aren't involved in this because they didn't know that, oh, you're radiating agriculture and crops aren't growing. Oh, bees and birds use an Earth's magnetic field, and we're going to throw them into an electromagnetic field that is so fast that it's not only causing nerve problems and killing the bugs and bees, they're losing direction. Migratory birds, migratory things. And imagine this for me, and again, I want people to just respect this, for the work that we do in saving lives, for the work that we do with the military, for the work that all of it, for me to have to even say to medicine when they said, what's the bottom line? And the bottom line is extinction.
Yeah.
You cannot, the Earth has a magnetic field. Everybody's heard of solar bombardments taking out satellites and taking out a $1 billion satellite, taking out the electrical grid. And what do humans do? We develop these frequencies within the atmosphere and take out the human satellites.
Uh-huh.
Take out everything. And here, imagine this for me with groundwater issues. Fish spawning. You imagine fish spawning, everything associated with fish spawning. These frequencies are going to be blasted over entire areas so everybody can hook up to the internet wirelessly for that convenience. It's going to knock the foliage off the trees. It's going to expose the ground to solar radiation that's going to hit close to boiling temperature at times, and it's going to kill fish spawning and the domino effect of everything associated with that.
Oh, my God.
And ask me. Like, I tell you what, you can imagine my job. Here we are working with fire departments and implementing programs and helping these guys. Did I ever in a billion years think that I would talk like this? No. Even last week, for me to consult with somebody and say, I want you to go get some tinfoil, and I want you to wrap your cell phone in the tinfoil and call it. And they said, it didn't ring in the tinfoil. I said, that's right. I said, it is reflecting the frequencies. Now I want you to build a hat. Because it was giving them headaches.
Uh-huh.
But imagine this for me in this capacity. And here's the horrible part.
You know,
right now we're in this Fortis application. And what I'm going to be doing before this weekend is over is, under the BC Utilities Act, I'm going to be asking and advising the BC Utilities Commission to deny Fortis's application specifically because of this missing criteria and this missing information, because reckless endangerment and what's happening here and starting fires and doing everything else that's going on is just so incredibly illegal, immoral. It's not legally definable as sustainable under the Auditor General's Act. And they actually talk about Fortis using BC Hydro's infrastructure, such as towers maybe, or something else to complete that circuitry. And they're just going to have to stop this, including stopping BC's assault, BC Hydro's assault on their populations. These politicians, you know, one of the reasons we reported this is to tell these guys. I said to lawyers, I said, are you exempt from criminal negligence? And they said no, and I said, am I? They said no, nobody is. Well, neither are these guys not doing their jobs. And excuse me if I'm going here, but I'll tell you what, I'm pretty passionate, especially you reminded me more of that, Dee, because I'm getting calls from people saying, Curtis, our dog died. Curtis, here's pictures of mutated chicks, baby chicks, after the eggs were radiated. Curtis, my I'm a grandma, and my face is swollen. I have open lesions, suicides, you name it. Now you talk about lethargic babies. Talk about friends of mine that, guess what, here they are talking about their children having problems in schools. What the heck are we doing of grading children on intelligence and then neurologically stimulating them in a classroom?
Yeah, and as Jerry pointed out at the very top of the show, he talked about the different Hertz frequencies that cause depression and aggression and all these different psychiatric behaviors. And at the same time, we're worried about, you know, what caused school shootings in Connecticut. You know, and
you're 100% right. And imagine this for me, to truly... Here's something that I just didn't want to talk about, and I don't now. But the idea that you could give people a criminal excuse for their behavior, and what Jerry said is so important, because you imagine this, and this is what we did with BC Hydro. And again, what BC Hydro did is BC Hydro didn't pay attention to their own credentialed and government professionals. If everybody looks inside their home right now and looks in the back of their hair dryer, their refrigerator, whatever the heck it is, you're going to see an electrical inspection plate there, and you're going to see 60 hertz, 120 volts, 60 hertz, 230 volts, 60 hertz. We have a 60 hertz grid to talk to a 60 hertz appliance for that electrical compatibility. BC Hydro actually said in one of their statements, oh, listen, if you didn't have a frequency compatibility, you're going to have a problem. So when Jerry talked about... You talked about your body running at 7 hertz when your brain is sleeping, half a hertz. And then you talk about these different frequencies. You're talking, the basics is you're talking about electrical incompatibility.
Mm-hmm.
But it's what it's doing with that electrical chemical interference that is beyond the scope of my education, except here are my medical professionals that I work with saying this affects the nervous system, the immune system, and the hormonal system at the same time.
And look at all the increases of disease that we've had over the last while. You know, they talk about, you mentioned a figure, you said it was going to cost so many millions more to install wired smart meters. And I'm going, yeah, but what about the health costs that you're incurring? You know, if you want to take it just on the financial level alone, you know, you save $10 to cost yourself $1 million. What? Is this fiscal responsibility? Is this responsibility in just in the financial without even looking at the human organic?
What do you think health insurers are going to do? You know, here, President Obama said this. Health costs, imagine me to report this. President Obama says health costs will bankrupt the U.S. government. Well, terrorism couldn't do it, but guess what? The telecommunications industry will.
Yeah.
And bankrupt the U.S. government, and then what happens when you can't get health care? Never mind the fragility of the grid, the privacy issues, which are significant as well, because it's just it's just that fragile. Hold on, I'm sorry. But it's just the grid and everything is just that fragile. But the health costs that we're not being informed about, just horrific across the board.
Unbelievable. It is, I mean, it's just, it's almost unfathomable when you think
well,
about...
Well, Stephen King couldn't write this.
No,
you know,
no.
Stephen King couldn't write this. And here's what's important, another thing what Jerry said, too, that people aren't understanding. Is
maybe
that,
now Stephen
you know,
King
we,
will
we actually
write
provided
this.
Testimony for the Texas Senate. On this issue, because for the lieutenant governor, well, Texas Utilities backed off and said, okay, we'll have an opt-out program. There's no opt-out. You know, here's Encore Utility. Now, even BC Hydro in Canada isn't supplying this information. Encore Utility in Texas, through their lawyer, had to declare that the average geographical coverage of a smart meter router is 5 square miles.
Wow.
One collector, 125 square miles.
Holy.
So if you, and here the governor
overlap,
said, well, if we have an opt-out
they?
Program, well, you, where are you going to opt out to?
Exactly. Where are you going to go? Where is there a safe place to go? I mean, besides
there's not
going to
be continent. There's not going to be a safe place to go.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Truly, to see that, listen, they're talking about doing this around the world. Imagine this, that I'm working with this very bright, incredible young Jewish lawyer on Wi-Fi issues, and I respect him so much for all his work. And to say to him that this will make the Holocaust pale in comparison because we're getting ready to radiate the whole entire world for convenience of hooking up to portable devices when we are not electrically compatible. And I hate to say that to people that are just hooked up to their wireless devices, but you guys, this is not safe. The calls that I'm getting from parents on my 25-year-old died from brain cancer, glioma, and he had his cell phone under his pillow because he was texting at night. Here's my tech guy with testicular cancer because he's got a cell phone in each pocket. Here are women, breast cancer issues.
And
more than anything, imagine a fetus. Imagine a fetus.
And you know, just to put a fine point on that, on the fetus, I think you and I discussed this last week, even ultrasound, which is frequentially modulated, sound is frequency, okay, ultrasound, the same stuff that they send every pregnant woman to have, you know, you're pregnant, let's take a look at your baby, let's do a sonogram, let's do a sound test. Now, at the same time as they're pushing ultrasound on pregnant women, they are coming out with ultrasound as a method of male contraception.
Wow.
Okay, so you've got, I mean, whether it's electrical or whether it's sound, you start modifying the frequency of your body and you are in for trouble.
You're 100%. And imagine with what you just said with that, too. You know, when I do this with doctors and I said, so you're going to radiate a fetus. You know, here this mom is. She's being radiated in school. Here I get asked a question. Could this pregnant teacher who taught in a Wi-Fi environment, could the death of her baby be a birth defect, be associated with her Wi-Fi environment? To talk to Terrence Young's office. Now, this is an MP in Oakville who is worried about the frequencies. To hear from people associated with that used to work for Bell. Here's a wireless group that said everybody on the testing floor got sick. Everybody on the testing floor got cancer. The pregnant women, their babies had spina bifida, meaning they weren't developed. And the reason we have to smarten this up is this. We can radiate ourselves if that's what the adults are going to do. But when I ask these doctors, if those little babies and that little fetus in there had vocal cords, do you think we'd hear them screaming? And here making this worse. And here's why I want people to take this. It's an unfortunate thing where some people said, Curtis, I don't know about the, you know, if this is hurting people, but this is going to affect my building. You imagine this. Whoever you own hospitals, you're not going to be able to occupy them. You know, structural engineers are going to reach a point where they're going to say, listen, you can only vibrate this so many times a second, and we're not going to allow you occupancy. The fire department will do the same thing. As soon as electrical engineers, unfortunately, have supported this technology because they've said, hey, it's a low power density. Well, power is watts. It just means you're under electrical load, and this is how dense that load is. As soon as they tell electrical engineers, oh, by the way, you left out a whole bunch of frequencies in a frequency equation, they're going to flip sides immediately. And so this is why the importance of this show that you're doing right here, and that these frequencies are illegal as applied. You know, and if people don't like it, they're just going to have to get the heck over it. And here's an example. I had one of the authors of the code. And here's a physicist, and he said, Curtis, I've got a problem with what you're saying. And I said, you are not electrically qualified as a physicist. You're a bright guy. You are not electrically qualified to discuss these issues. Here's a master's in science associated with the BC Center of Disease Control saying, I think these frequencies are safe. He is not electrically qualified in his opinion. How many bean counters and accountants that are actually talking about, I think these frequencies are safe. Well, they're not electrically qualified, and I just say that with great respect, but they need to incorporate this into what it means for them. Now, here's Perry Kendall, and here's what's important in Canada as well. The dangers of the frequencies is now lectured in medical education for education credits required for licensing, and doctors need to consider a wireless and diagnosis without exception, or they're going to run into liability issues. And I don't say this as threats. We work for insurance companies. And insurance companies, you know, listen, they want to save money. And as soon as these guys even find out, they've been paying for health effects. They've been paying for things while everybody else has been capitalizing on this. Listen, there's going to be a legal hell coming as a result of this. But it needs to be stopped. And it needs to be stopped. And premiers, these administrators have to, quite frankly, smarten the hell up. Can I say hell? But they need to smarten up. And guess what? Do their jobs. They're not electrically qualified to understand these issues, but it is very real, and the peer-reviewed science is called electricity. Electromagnetic fields in a conductor, that's how we generate electricity.
It's just that simple. We are in this battle. We are fighting for the preservation of the fundaments of life here.
Yeah.
You kill our agriculture. Listen,
we're dead.
What are we going to eat?
What about that whole industry?
Who's going to pay for that? Will we as taxpayers have to pick up the cost? This is done for farmers, for the agricultural industry, for all the above.
Yeah, well, I don't owe Fortis.
Because these guys didn't do their jobs.
You know, I don't owe Fortis and UCBC and Corex and people like that. I'm in Ontario, but same difference, right? I don't owe these people my life. You don't owe them your life. You don't owe them your children's life or your grandchildren's life so they can make a profit now off your ignorance.
No, you're right, and you think about this too. BC Hydro has just come out through our media and the paper out here and talked about that they're going to get more aggressive with people that are trying to stop this smart meter being installed. And I would tell BC Hydro administrators who are going to hear this tape, and I would tell Rich Coleman, and I would tell the Premier of BC, and I would tell these guys, they are not exempt from their reckless endangerment of the public. Mm-hmm. The idea that these guys have got laborers putting on these meters and changing these meters under load and starting people's buildings on fires is disgusting. For fire chiefs to say that, you know, the meters aren't causing the problems, they're not electrically qualified in their opinion either. But the fact that this province now, these guys, they're under attack by their own government, by their own public utility, by these people that are not telling the truth and making it worse. My job and our jobs in this was to contact contact the Premier, to contact the Energy Minister, contact Mr. Coleman, contact BC Hydro, contact our MLA, contact our MP, Ron Cannon. Did all of the above, and guess what these guys did? These guys just responded with a form letter, and guess what? And further endangering people and tell people, listen, you guys have the right to protect your property. They're radiating your building. They're radiating you. They have no right to be there. The RCMP and the police should get involved. These unions need to get involved. You're radiating your own family members.
Yeah.
The idea that our military is over there doing their jobs, doing what they're doing, and we're back here killing their families here.
And
what the heck is going on?
Like, they cannot, can they, use the Clean Energy Act and things like that to absolve themselves of guilt here? They can't.
Well, here's what's even worse with this. And if you actually take a look on our website is thermoguy.com, thermoguy. You will see my submission to the BC Utilities Commission on the Fortis application supporting a suspension of the application because their Clean Energy Act is to save energy. Well, we design buildings, and this is my own, including my own double education in electricity and building engineering, we design buildings in a calculator. We couldn't see the energy consumption. And then when we started using this technology to look and see, here's how we're using energy, these guys are not achieving their mandate. They are not going to achieve any of it. They really don't need a smart program at all. The analog meters were working fine. They just needed to do a better job on energy conservation. And here's only the only thing I give the utility companies in this. Every time we design new developments and do more things, all of a sudden these guys are asked to pick up more electrical load. But unfortunately, most of it is electrical waste. And these guys need to understand that, listen, there's a lot better ways to deal with this waste, to do things naturally. And people better understand this. When I'm working in medicine and they say, Curtis, what does this mean to you that we've got 100% toxicity ratio and reproductive problems as a species? You guys said, what happens when you can't reproduce anymore? And even when you talked about this, Dee, this reminds me of this. Here's what a doctor said to me. What does this do to Lyme's patients? What does this do to the vulnerable? Because they said, would these bugs excrete more toxins because of the radiation in itself? These people are more vulnerable. Imagine our health plans in Canada put in pacemakers, and the pacemaker manufacturer says, stay out of an electromagnetic field, but the smart meter routers and towers are taking the electromagnetic field, and they'll kill them at home.
I see we're coming down the end of the show, Dee, so we need to kind of finish up a little bit.
Oh, I wish we had another hour or two.
Yeah, I know.
You guys just keep this in mind. You know, this is what you guys are doing here is very progressive. And for your listening audience, please, you know, when your husband says vacate the base, he just disagrees with them because they don't like the tone of their voice. And they just have to understand that when we consult at that level, we're not lobbying. And we're not getting those answers back either. And Ottawa's not doing their job, quite frankly. So you guys, very progressive. And listen, we'd look forward to doing it again. And my opinion is not singular by any means.
No.
This isn't just me.
No, it's a huge amount of information. And it's just so much to it and so complicated.
Yeah. And then it comes down to what can we do about it? Well, the thing that we can do about it is everybody stand up at once, because they can't beat us all. But it's an all-or-nothing deal. These smart meters are an all-or-nothing deal. Everybody's got to get a wired meter, or nobody is safe.
Yeah.
And that's
and
what we have
right.
to remember. That's what
and
we
And your
have
MPs
to
have to be doing their jobs.
Well, yeah.
MLAs have to be doing their jobs. Our elected officials.
Yeah, and at this point in time, they can't claim ignorance, because they've all been lobbied. They've all been talked to. They've all been given the straight goods one way or another, whether it's through groups like Citizens for Safe Technology or BC Freedom from Smart Meters or anything else, anybody else. They cannot claim ignorance anymore, and because they can't claim ignorance, it is deliberate.
You're right,
it
and they can take this into court today. The frequencies are illegal as applied. They do not comply with Safety Code 6. They are stimulating tissue.
Thanks, Curtis. Thanks so much for being on the show. And Dee, thank you very much. We wanted to make available to listeners that these shows are now going to be archived for free. So you're going to be able to access this show. So please look into that and spread this show widely as we can.
We'll spread the link. We'll make sure the link is shared, because too many people need to see this, to hear this, and know this information. It's been critical. Thank you so much, Curtis. I can't thank you enough for being with us today. We'll have to do it again. We're out of time, sadly, but we will be back with more of Curtis Bennett and Jerry Flynn and others who can give us the truth on how to protect our health and those of future generations. So, Christopher, thank you. BBS, thank you.
Yeah, thank you all.
All right, you pal.
We'll be back and with another harangue.